Tsar Nicholas II was the final tsar. He was the final king of Russia before the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, when the communists came in and did what they did. And his family, his kids, had as their playroom in the palace, they say, the treasury room. That the room in which they kept all the great treasures of the kingdom of Russia, the crowns that the king and queens had worn throughout the centuries, the beautiful diadems with diamonds studded within them, the treasury room in which they kept that, the Romanov children had as their playroom. Could you imagine being a little kid and you go over and you're like, I get to wear this crown today, and you put it on your head? And to them, I mean, they could have been playing with Legos. But they had the whole treasury room as their playroom. They didn't keep it behind glass, but rather out where the kids had total access to it. Except I suppose on, you know, beautiful days like this that happen even in Russia, when their mother told them, as many mothers are telling their kids now, get outside. Get off your iPad, your TV, your phone. It's too beautiful out. Get outside. What are we going to do? Use your imagination. Get outside, though. And when she told her kids this, she probably told them they couldn't bring the crowns and stuff out there. It's graduation season. It's a time in which we have the commencements. Trinity's today, Dickinson High's is coming up in a couple weeks. And commencement is the beginning in which the teachers and the parents say, we've given you, students, all we can give you. Now you have to go out into the world. Go out into college. Go into work. And take what you've received and go. And it's incredible what happens for a lot of kids. At least for me, I went off to college in Ohio because I wanted to get as far away from North Dakota as I could. Because I knew if I went to, say, Bismarck, I'd have to come home and milk cows at night. No. I went far away to Ohio. But you know, when you go out and you're on your own, you begin to realize the things that you took for granted. The incredible gifts that you had received from your parents, your family. The incredible gift that even living here in North Dakota is. And you mature in that way. Jesus gives in the gospel the Great Commission. He tells his disciples today to go out into the whole world proclaiming the gospel, to take what he had given them, the treasures that he had given them, and to bring them out into the world. And so we're moving from the resurrection in this season of Easter into the beginnings of the church, in today's feast in the Ascension and next week in Pentecost. What happens in the Ascension? What happens today? Jesus takes our humanity, which he came from heaven to take as a child at Christmas, and he brings our humanity, as weak and as fallen as it is, he takes that and now he brings it up to heaven. That our humanity is now within the Godhead. It's within the Trinity. He brought our humanity where it is now within God's very life. And what happens next week in Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes down is God's life is going to come down in our humanity, in each one of us, with God's life filling us with his power, so that we're able to take the treasures that he has given us, the kingdom of God which he has given us full access to bring those treasures now actually out into the world. It's the incredible thing he does with the Ascension and with Pentecost, and with this he begins the church, that he's given his disciples, he's given them, they've received, sometimes two steps forward, one step back. kind of like us. But now he tells them, you need to go out, and those gifts that you've received, they need to be activated by you actually giving them away. And he's calling in the ascension his disciples and each one of us into a maturity of faith. A maturity of faith. His disciples, they of course did not want him to leave. And he told them again and again, it's better that I go. It's better that I go. Because in this paradoxical way, Jesus is closer to us now than when he walked the earth. He is much more intimately close to us than when he walked the earth. I think sometimes, do you ever have these sort of thoughts? I think sometimes if I would have had just one day with Jesus in person, back when he walked the earth, when all the good stuff happened, if I would have just seen one of his miracles change everything, my faith would be on fire. I'd have no doubts. Of course, that's ridiculous because he tells us that we're actually closer to him now than his disciples were with him in person. And that the great things that he performed, the great works and miracles, more powerful things will be done through his church. Through his church, through his power. Jesus' territory in which he ministered, it was small. From the Sea of Galilee down to Jerusalem, do you know how much space that is? It's like from here to New Salem. It's not a whole lot. That's where he had his 3 years of ministry, where everything happened. It was a small little geographical land. But now that he ascends to the Father, he's able to be present to the whole world as God the Father is. He's present to the whole world because his life is sent down next week into his church. And that through his church, us, Jesus becomes present not just in a stretch of land from here to Salem Sioux, but from a stretch of land from here to every remote corner of the world. Go out into the whole world proclaiming the gospel. And that through the church, through God's life coming down upon those apostles and Mary, the sacraments, his life, the greatest treasures of the church, we have access to. And then every time we receive them, God's life is brought alive within us. Do you know that the angels are jealous of us? The angels in heaven, they are jealous of us. I'm not making this up. St. Thomas Aquinas speaks about this. Because the angels of heaven, you see him, a couple of them up there adoring God upon the cross and in the Eucharist. They're in the presence of heaven and they see God face to face and they minister to him. But they're jealous of us because they aren't able to receive God in the Eucharist. That we're able to be much more intimately united with God than even they are. These are the treasures of our faith that God has left us. This is the power within each one of those that God gives us. He gives all of his power, all of his kingly might into us who were baptized priest, prophet, and king. This is what St. Paul proclaims to the Ephesians today. Listen to the words he says. And when she speaks about treasure, power, the call to go out, may the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call. What are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe? You guys have heard at one point, I'm sure, that they say we use only 10% of our brains. You heard this? That our brains we only use 10% of. That's now, they believe, a myth. The people who probably came up with that. The scientists went and spent time in a high school, and they decided that's way too high of a number. Way, way too high. So they lowered it, actually. They say it's probably more, but it's still, there's so much of our mind which is not tapped into. The power of the human mind. And it's been this fascination. What would we be able to do if you could access all the power of the human mind? What would you be able to do? People have been fascinated about this. There's a movie, Limitless, Robert De Niro, Bradley Cooper. It's pretty good, but it's all about this. Someone who's able to access the full power of their mind. There's a whole industry, nootropic drugs, which are supposed to be able to open your mind in this way. The way in which we're fascinated by that, but the percentage within our souls of the kingdom of God and the treasures that are in your soul, how much of that have we accessed into? How much of that? And what if we were able to unlock the power of it? To unlock the untapped power and depth of your faith, because it's faith and it's trust in God, which unlocks the treasures that are within your soul. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me," listen to what he says, "whoever believes in me, whoever has faith, will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these. Because I am going to the Father." Do we believe that? Do we have faith in that? That when you pray, when you turn to God, you're tapping in to a power which has no limit to it because it's God. Do we pray with an expectant faith? Where it's when I pray, I don't know what's going to happen, but I expect and I believe that God will act. Or is it where we pray out of a sense of poverty? In this sense, where it's I pray and maybe God will do something, maybe he won't. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Instead of out of a confidence in Jesus' own words, that when I pray, when I pray over a person, for a person who's sick, that Jesus will act. I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm excited because he's going to do something. What will he do? When we come into here, we come into this church, this is the treasure house of God. We access all these treasures here with the sacraments in prayer. But unlike probably the Romanoff kids, God tells us then to bring those treasures out. This is the call that he gives them, his disciples and us in the ascension. He says, go out now into the whole world, bringing what you have received, proclaiming the gospel of Christ, that Jesus Christ is alive, that death has been destroyed, and that his life is alive within us now. For Christians to tap into that power of there's so much more. But we put God into a little box that I know the way that God works in my life. And these are the limits in which God has worked in my life, and that's all I expect him to do. There is so much more in that treasury house of God's kingdom. And for us, when you encounter it, when you encounter that pearl of great price, then you're not just called, but you're impelled to go out and to bring it to others. And when you do, you're going to, you know what you're going to crash into? Every one of your weaknesses, every bit of your inadequacy, every frustration in the entire world as you try and bring that out. But you know what? That's the same thing happened to disciples. Because you can't do it on your own power. It's what happens next week when the power of God comes upon us that gives us that strength. And the last thing, the word mass itself, we call it, I'm going to mass, comes from the very last words that the priest or deacon, that Deacon Bob is going to address to you at the end of Mass today. It comes from the words ita missa est in Latin, for the words that we hear at the end of Mass, go you're sent. Mass means go, get out. You're sent, go. Deacon Bob will say, go in peace. Go in peace, proclaiming the gospel with your lives. Go forth, the Mass is ended. That you've received this treasure, and now you go out and you bring that to the whole world. You evangelize. You take this treasure to every last corner of the earth in everything you do in your life. It's the glory of what he does in the ascension and what he's going to do when he gives us his power next week.